Have you ever felt trapped in a destructive pattern that seems impossible to break? Whether it's explosive anger, crippling anxiety, or a stubborn habit, lasting change often feels beyond reach. What makes this spiritual transformation approach different is its power source. The same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead, dunamis in Greek, from which we get dynamite, is available for your personal transformation. This divine dynamite provides three crucial capabilities. It cancels your past mistakes completely, conquers your present problems, and changes your personality from the inside out. When God forgives, He doesn't just pardon, He forgets, throwing your sins into the deepest sea with a no fishing sign posted above. Jesus' final words on the cross, "It is finished," tetelestai, literally meant paid in full. Your debt has been completely canceled. But why do so many of us delay transformation? Like Pharaoh, who bizarrely requested one more night with the frogs during the plagues, we procrastinate positive change out of complacency, fear, or pride. Breaking this inertia requires tremendous energy, like a rocket launch that burns most fuel in the first few seconds. But resurrection power provides exactly that explosive force needed for liftoff. Spiritual growth is a collaborative effort between you and God. As Paul states, "Work out your salvation, for it is God who works in you." Like a spiritual workout, God provides the power, but you must activate it. God uses three tools: His Word to guide you, His Spirit to empower you, and your circumstances to shape you. When we resist change through Scripture and the Spirit, God often uses problems to reach us. As C.S. Lewis noted, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but He shouts to us in our pain. Your role requires three choices. First, choose your thoughts carefully, as your life is shaped by your thoughts, Proverbs 4:23. Second, rely on the Holy Spirit. As Jesus taught, "Without me, you can do nothing." Third, manage your response to circumstances. As Viktor Frankl learned in Nazi camps, while everything else can be taken away, you retain the freedom to choose your attitude. Love is often misunderstood, reduced to mere feelings, or seen as uncontrollable. In truth, love is both a deliberate choice, put on love, Colossians 3:14, and an action, something we do rather than just feel. The journey to loving others starts with experiencing God's love yourself, as unloved people struggle to love others. Forgiveness is crucial. Harboring resentment divides your heart and limits your capacity to love. When you hold on to bitterness, you give away parts of yourself meant for others. Transform your ability to love by focusing on others' needs, hurts, and goals. Often, the least lovable people need love most. Since thoughts shape emotions, changing your thinking can change your feelings. Act lovingly even before feeling it. Actions can lead to genuine emotions more easily than waiting for feelings to prompt action. Believe in others' potential. People tend to rise to expectations, so when you treat them as you want them to become, you help bring out their best. Not as manipulation, but from genuine faith in their capabilities. While happiness depends on circumstances, joy is a deeper choice that transcends external factors. As a Christian, you can remain positive through hope in Christ, understanding God's purpose and His constant presence. People can endure almost anything with hope, but many rely on temporary sources like money or status. Christian hope, being permanent, enables positivity even in difficulties. You can rejoice in suffering, not because of it, knowing God's purpose exists in every trial. Problems build perseverance, character, and hope, but only when approached with the right attitude. Joy strengthens like a muscle through four key practices: cultivating gratitude, giving generously, serving others, and sharing Christ. These countercultural exercises, when practiced consistently, develop lasting inner joy. Jesus offers a unique peace that transcends circumstances, unlike the world's temporary peace, just 286 years and 3,500 years of human history. This divine peace is a gift to accept, not earn. Five keys unlock perfect peace. First, obey God's principles. Great peace have they who love your law. The Bible serves as life's owner manual. Second, accept God's pardon, as guilt disrupts peace and only His forgiveness brings a clear conscience. Third, maintain focus on God's presence. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. Stress signals when focus shifts from God to circumstances. Fourth, trust God's purpose even when things seem unclear. Peace comes from trust, not understanding. Fifth, seek God's peace through prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The result is peace that transcends all understanding. Without prayer, worry takes root. Patience may be the most useful virtue in the world, needed everywhere and at all times. God develops our patience through testing, often by allowing our problems to increase when we pray for patience. The difficulties we face are precisely how God answers our prayers for greater patience. Your patience can be measured by how you handle four common challenges: interruptions that disrupt your plans, inconveniences that frustrate your microwave mentality, irritations, especially annoying people, and waiting, whether at doctor's offices, in supermarket lines, or during forced bed rest. The key is learning from the oyster, taking an irritation, like a grain of sand, and transforming it into something valuable, a pearl. Impatience stems from a lack of peace and is rooted in selfishness, seeing only your needs, desires, and schedule. The Bible offers a four-part strategy for developing patience. Develop a new perspective by seeing life from God's viewpoint. Acquire a sense of humor that dissolves tension. Deepen your love, since love is patient. And depend on the Lord, recognizing patience as the fruit of the Spirit, not mere willpower. Kindness is a choice we make daily, something we put on like clothing. It's love in action, visible and practical. Despite the risks of being misunderstood or taken advantage of, kindness ultimately benefits both the giver and receiver. Kind people are aware of others' needs, build others up with encouraging words, share in others' sorrows and joys, tell painful truth when necessary, and don't wait to show kindness. They act when opportunity arises. The number one enemy of kindness is busyness. When we're too busy to help neighbors, volunteer at church, or meet others' needs, we're truly too busy, because kindness is everyone's ministry. No matter how many Bible verses you've memorized, if you're not kind, you're not like Jesus, who was the embodiment of the kindness and love of God.